surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
All right, I want to settle a debate here as we start the 5 o'clock hour on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmody's Kevin Powell. Adam Hogue back next weekend off for the 4th. We're going to have Alan Hahn, Knicks basketball studio analyst from the MSG Network. He's also the co-host of the Hahn and Humpty Show, which sounds like a great show, on ESPN 98.7 in New York City. Who will you miss more? Please text or call 312-981-7200. Who will you miss more, Derrick Rose or Joakim Noah? I put it out on Twitter, did the poll the other day, and it was heavy one way. I won't even say which way. So let's just keep, we'll revisit that. But if you could start those texts coming in, 312-981-7200. Who will you miss more, Joakim Noah or Derrick Rose, as they are now both New York Knicks, which means that I will be rooting for the Knicks this year because the Bulls are not going to do anything anyway. Alan Hahn, welcome to 720 WGN. Are people thinking that this was a good decision by Phil Jackson and company? What's the take in New York right now?
Well, I think a lot of people are so accustomed to every deal that this franchise makes is a bad one. And this goes back to the Eddie Curry deal that I know you guys know well because you benefited from it really well.
That was a beauty.
I think that, yeah, I mean, it's funny how it all comes full circle, too, because one of the draft picks that the Knicks up was Joakim Noah. And so he comes back, but only about maybe 20 years too late. Honestly, I think that people are just so conditioned here to feel like, well, something must be bad. It has to be bad. So the initial reaction is always that way, is first and foremost, $18 million, are they crazy? But we all know in the new economics of the NBA, $18 million is like really like more like $14 million in the old cap. So I don't think it's a bad deal. I think people are excited with the fact that they have real NBA players again, and that if healthy, which is going to be the preface to everything you say about the Knicks, if healthy, they got a lot better. And so what I'm curious is the result of the poll you just talked about. Because it's funny how the reaction in New York is one way, but the reaction in Chicago that I've seen is pretty amazing because of the fact that they lost two players that I think a lot of the fans loved. And I'm curious to see who they're going to miss more. I'd love to know the results of it.
Well, when I put it out on Twitter yesterday, as I'll jump ahead here, and early signs on the text line right now, it's the same. People are going to miss Joakim Noah more because he really was, he was the heart and soul of the team. He was a guy that had some of the greatest comments that any athlete in the city really has ever had. It might be hyperbolic, but I play for the guy in the last row of the 300 level. He started Noah's Ark Foundation. I mean, this is a heart and soul guy who...
Well, and with Rose, too, it's almost like we saw two completely different players, because we did, and there was two completely different feelings towards him. At first, he was the hometown kid. People loved him, and I think when he left, people were still sort of... They still had those feelings and emotions. This kid's from Chicago. You know, he came up in a rough area, and he rose all the way to the top to the MVP. And then we all remember what happened in April of 2012. And then some really sort of head-scratching, dumb comments he made to the media didn't sit well with fans. So I would say prepare yourself for Derrick Rose, but also his brother Reggie. Because that's his team. That's his team. That's who makes the decisions. Not team doctors on whether Derek's healthy or not. It's Team Rose and his brother Reggie. I'm telling you, get ready for that, Alan.
Well,
I believe it. Yeah, no, I believe it. And you understand. Again, we've gone through the Steph Marbury era, and we've gone through everybody else from even Amari Stoudemire and some of the stuff that you deal with him. And obviously, there's Carmelo and, you know, Jeremy Lin and that madness. So trust me, I mean, we've kind of seen it all, but I'm sure there'll be something interesting. And you know what? Here's the thing. The Derrick Rose trade is, to me, the no-brainer of this. And
agreed.
It has to be Phil Jackson's relationship with the Bulls, or at least B.J. Armstrong, that made a deal like this happen, because it came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm told, it surprised people even in the Knicks front office when Phil came and said, you know what, I think we should make the move for Rose. They want to trade him. You know, a lot of guys were stunned because it didn't seem like something that Phil would do. But when you look at it, it's almost a no-brainer, because if it doesn't work out, if Derek gets hurt again, if he's, you know, I'm only playing 60 games, exactly what you got is space.
Right.
You know, and so you start over again next summer, and then you know how it is in New York, typical. We'll go, okay, who's the best free agent available? Russell Westbrook. Okay, he's coming to New York. So that's kind of how it'll go.
Well,
but you know what? Let me tell you this. You are getting a guy in Robin Lopez that you guys are going to love. I mean, just absolutely love this guy. I know you're going to miss Noah and his personality, but trust me on Robin Lopez. He's a bit quirky, but he's funny. He knows he's funny. And the best part is this. The first time I met him, we did an interview on our show, Han and Humpty. By the way, Humpty is Rick DiPietro. He played in Chicago back in 2000 with when he first came into the league. But anyway, DiPietro was hilarious. So we're having this interview with Lopez, and he talks about his cat. He's got this cat. And he said that his biggest issue is that his new housekeeper, rich people problems, doesn't like cats. So he doesn't know what to do when he goes on the road. So I just kind of threw out there, well, you know what? We have a guy at the station named Don LaGreca who loves cats. So you can just have Don LaGreca watch your cat. He laughed, and then he goes, will he? Will he watch my cat? Like, he was dead serious looking for somebody to watch his cat. So I'm telling you, he's a great guy, hard worker, played 82 games last year, real durable, a lot better than people think he is offensively. And I'm telling you, so you'll miss Noah for his personality and all that stuff, but he's going to fill those shoes really well.
Yeah, and the Bulls are also getting him at a lot cheaper price than they would have paid Noah, and he's healthier. However, what you just said, and I think I will, and I'm allergic to cats, but I will make the offer to Robin Lopez to take care of his cat. But now you're talking about a guy who has cats, and single dudes with cats, that's just a bad look, Alan Hahn, is it not?
But not only that, single guy, cats, watches Disney movies. So put all that together.
It's
like, you know, Stuart Little.
Right. That's not the guy I want playing center for me. Come on, man. A dog.
Look, I'll tell you this, because obviously Joe is a New York guy and he spends a lot of time in New York, kind of grew up here. And I love the fact that he said he hates Cleveland. That's perfect for me. I'll take that any day.
It's a bunch of warehouses, according to Joe Keem.
I'm okay with that. You know what? I spent half of my summer in 2010 in Cleveland. I know it too well. When people said, well, you're only here in the winter. Okay, I was there in July. It still sucks. But honestly, Joe Kim Noah as a guy, New Yorker, tough guy, you know, tough personality, that mentality, willing to say anything, that brings us back, as you guys will remember, to the 90s. And I think people in New York City, all they're begging for is the mentality that those 90s Knicks teams had. And we haven't had that, you know, kind of around here in a long time. Hopefully he brings some of that back. I think people will fall in love with him again for that.
Yeah, well, he's absolutely going to do that. And Derek, let me give Derek a little bit of credit. If New York is hard on Derek Rose, it won't matter. Because here, like, the toughest guy on Rose was a guy who covers and does a great job covering the Bulls for the Chicago Sun-Times, and Joe Colley. But he wrote a ton of negative stuff on him. And
he got crushed. He really did. And that's what I was talking about. He was beloved, but he got crushed the past few years. He really did, Alan.
But my point is that, listen, Colley would go right up to him in every meeting, you know, whenever Rose was talking to the media, which was all the time, and he'd ask him questions. And Derek would look him right in the eye and answer the question every time with no attitude.
That's good. So that's good.
I mean, it's impressive, right? Yeah. Most athletes, you attack consistently, they are going to shut you out. And Rose, Rose is not that way. So I mean, I give him a ton of credit for that.
That's good to know. Like I wonder, you know, is this going to be a short lived run for him? I mean, is this going to be, you know, 62 games and, you know, maybe a first round, and then, you know, he's on another team next year, and the Knicks have another point guard? I mean, is it going to be that, or is it going to be, you know, does he have that bounce back season that he thinks he's going to have? Because this is the first off season. He said he's done more basketball work than rehab work, and he could just focus on his game again. And if he does that, well, it puts the Knicks in an interesting situation, because if he has a year where he's even all-star level or even just good enough and they get back in the playoffs, well, the Knicks face that thing where fans will say, how can you let him go? How can you let him walk? So it's going to be an interesting situation to see if this is a short-term thing or if it turns into a long-term thing.
Yeah, you're hitting the bullseye right here, Alan Hahn, Knicks basketball studio analyst. I mean, if he plays great, do you pay him? Because you're taking
huge
on a ton of risks. That's a huge question.
I don't think you're ever going to see Derrick Rose of old. I think that's gone. But it doesn't mean he can't be an effective point guard still.
But let's remember, listen, the guy had a game winner against the Cavs.
But you're not going to – he can't even dunk anymore, Alan.
Yeah, but
well, I don't want to hear that.
He can't dunk.
You know, I don't even ask you about that part. The athleticism, can he defend? Because the Knicks
lost
Calderon last year. I mean, understand, you guys are getting Calderon, who you're going to learn to appreciate him when he's in a suit with a clipboard. That's when he's most effective.
Right.
Because
right.
He's very smart. And he's a good mentor, but he doesn't have anything left.
I actually.
And so the Knicks started him last year.
Right. I actually like Justin Holliday too. So I don't know if that'll ever come to be. That's a little bit off the beaten path, but I liked Justin Holliday last year. He stepped up late in the season.
Tell me about him.
Long, thin wing, good attitude, young player, can get to the bucket, shoots it okay. I don't mind Justin Holliday. He was one of their better players down the stretch last year. So
interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that's a
I'm telling you, for all the highlights Derek provided us in his first few years, he doesn't dunk the ball in games, Alan. He doesn't, because he really doesn't have that explosiveness that he used to.
But it
doesn't get there anymore, right? Mm-hmm.
It's all on the line though for him right now. Hey, one question on Phil Jackson. Is he, in your mind, collecting money, or is he invested in making the Knicks a championship contender?
Hey, you know what? That is the big question that everybody has asked, and it really started getting asked last summer. The first summer when the Tyson Chandler trade was made, and you look saying to yourself, you couldn't even get a first-round pick. Like, there were some moves that he made that he later has admitted these didn't work out. And it's the first time he really was in the front office, in that position. And so you saw like a guy that realized, I don't know what I'm doing, you know. And so he made some mistakes early on. And there were people that did, you know, there was always that countdown. Well, Phil has the opt-out. You'll see. He'll be in L.A. in no time. Everybody's expecting him to leave and bail on New York. And that, you know, just realize it's too hard and I'm just going to get out of here before my legacy is tarnished. But I got to be honest, as time goes on, it's looking more and more like he's invested in this. And something changed over the past couple of months, even with the coaching search, because it seemed like he was content with – yeah, well, the Hornacek thing is, but it seemed like he was content with Kurt Rambis and let's go hardcore triangle and, you know, Porzingis is the centerpiece and let's just get a bunch of young guys and then I can fully out of here and let them be in a rebuild. But – that changed, and now it's suddenly win now. Hornacek plays a different kind of style, and now you've got players that it looks more like Carmelo is the guy that's the priority, not Porzingis, and let Porzingis, I guess, learn from veteran players around him. So Phil looks a lot more invested over the last, I'd say about 6 months than I believe people thought he was early on. So, and people I've talked to that are close to him say that's, you know, that he's totally about turning this thing around and getting it right, and you know, he's not about, you know, running away from this, because that would look worse on him if he did run away before he got this thing right. So it is an interesting question a lot of people have asked, but I'm saying it's looking more like he is actually invested, and he was learning early on as he went, and he did make some mistakes that he admitted to.
I'll wrap you up with a thought that, Alan, I'd like you to take to the Han and Humpty show, if you can just please say that you stole it from At the Carm. You guys already blew it by signing Noah, but this is what could have happened. You traded for Rose. He's off the books in a year. Carmelo's already signed. The banana boat crew of LeBron, D. Wade, and Chris Paul, they all want to play together. You would have had about $75 million available, if my math is correct. They could have all come to New York next year.
Yeah.
Which I guess
nobody wants to play in New York. Don't you see it? Isn't that what everybody's saying? Nobody wants to play in New York. You know, we have our conspiracy theory that we threw out on our show, and you guys can certainly have fun with this if you want. We believe that this is really how it's going down, that it's going to be that let's see how this works. Now, Wade will go to the Clippers, okay? It starts with that.
Okay.
Then the Clippers will trade Blake Griffin to the Knicks for Melo. Melo will waive the no trade for that kind of a move. Okay. And then the three of them look at LeBron and go, what you got, man? We're all together. Where are you? And they all go to L.A., where they all want to live anyway, because it's L.A., it's Hollywood. All their wives seem to be in some type of TV or movie career. And so there you go. And they all play for Doc Rivers and Ballmer and the Clippers. And then imagine saying this one day. Think about it. I mean, the Cavaliers winning a champ is one thing. To say NBA champion LA Clippers?
Yeah.
Those are words none of us thought we'd ever say. So there you go. How about that one?
Well, that's why it's an interesting spot for Kevin Durant.
Hey, Alan, Robin Lopez may be smarter than he looks. Our 312 texter chiming in. Women love cats. A guy with one, you're good to go. My neighbor has Garfield. He has a new girl every week. So maybe Robin Lopez knows what's up.
He is no dummy.
Carmen and I are taking notes.
When the Bulls play the Nets, he and his brother, as close as they are on the court, it's fun, man. They go at it. I mean, they look like they hate each other on the floor, so it's fun to watch.
Well, you got Jeremy Lin coming back to the Nets. So you got Lin Sanity, you got D Rose. It's the basketball capital of the world. Alan, great stuff.
Brooklyn Sanity now.
Oh yeah, there it is. Brooklyn Sanity. That's cool. I like that. Hey, if I told you that the best cheeseburger in New York City is at J.G. Melon's, what would you say?
J.G. Melon's, huh?
Yes, it's so good. They burn like a nice little crispy outer caramelly, just delicious with a grilled onion. It's down, I want to say it's by Arturo's on like 3rd and something. Don't really know New York all that well, but it was.
Yeah, no, I got this. I know what you're talking about. I've never had that one. Yeah, I gotta be honest with you. I've never had that one, but now you're making me have to go.
It's so good.
I'll definitely do that.
Hey, Alan, thanks for jumping on, man. We enjoyed the conversation. That was great.
You got it. Likewise. Be well.
Alan Hahn, Knicks basketball studio analyst on the MSG Network and the co-host of Hahn and Humpty on ESPN 98.7. That was there you go. All right.
It was fun because he was sort of trying to get vibes from us so he can relay that to the New Yorkers and what they're getting in Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, and he did the same with us as well with some of these players.